What up, Donut Squad, and welcome to
Holy Matrimony, a podcast where we have the whole conversation about the humor,
holiness,
and hardships of marriage.
My name is Daniel Glaze.
And I'm Anna Glaze.
And we are that Catholic couple. And today's episode was way more fun than we anticipated. Yep. Nothing against our guests, the McGrady's, because they were amazing and wonderful. It's just, we only knew them from Catholic Internet, and it was so awesome to have them as guests on this podcast.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why we created the podcast, is to get to know couples that we already kind of knew.
Or that we don't know,
but get to know them better through the podcast. And even though it was still virtually, we still haven't met in person.
We know we can be friends with them.
We can definitely be friends with them. This podcast episode contains poop, contains The Office, it contains motherhood and fatherhood, and lots of inside jokes that were really just developed on the show.
You're going to witness them live. You know, I like inside jokes. I hope to be a part of them one day.
Yay, The Office. And with that being said, enjoy.
Tommy's a biology major too, so he can totally talk to the science of it.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Then tell me why my child is so adorable.
I know.
It has to be because of Anna.
I just served that up like a softball, didn't I?
Yeah, Anna. My Instagram photo to prove to you. Go stalk their Instagram for a second.
But by the same token, if Rose looks like me, it's a miracle that she's as cute as she is. So, you know, either way.
I mean, tell me, I'm not going to lie. You're a cute dude, you know?
Yeah, Dino's hitting on you.
Just like you're on time on the podcast. Hey, man, I mean, just, you know, if you ever need like a guy, you know, just like, let me know. I could be your dude. You know?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So this is the photo I showed him.
Oh, yeah.
And we're putting it up side by side. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's right.
Yeah.
It's all
there. I was going to say, it's all right there. For those who are listening, she put up a photo of Lily smiling. Her unibrow is extra pronounced.
It's all the eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's eyebrow. My eyes. Yeah.
Eyebrow. Owns it. Rocks it. She's the new Frida Kahlo of our day.
For real.
I love it. I used to hate it as a kid, and I'm pretty sure Lily will probably go through a phase of hating it. It's just, you don't like it, and kids are mean.
She's so awesome. She only needs one eyebrow.
Yes.
Everyone else needs two. I don't need two. I need one.
Actually,
that's a great eye.
That's how we should prep her, being like, oh, look at you, you dummy with two eyebrows.
Everyone else is weird for having two, baby.
That's so good. I like that.
And we're hoping that with Dino's confidence, because I don't know if you know, but Dino is a very confident man.
Yes.
I don't know if that's come across.
Shy guy next to you.
Yeah, exactly, right?
He's not shy at all. We're hoping Lily will use that to her advantage.
She will.
Yeah, if someone makes fun of her.
Tell them the story. Well, I don't know if this is confidence or just a funny story about the chicken tenders.
Well, we had dinner with some friends a couple nights ago, and one of the girls goes, my mom makes the best chicken tenders, and tells Lily that. She's a little older. My mom makes the best chicken tenders. And
without skipping a beat, right?
And Lily goes, my mom's a poop.
Like, just like extra proud, like, well, let me tell you about my mom.
The best poop.
She's a poop.
So great.
Okay.
I loved it. I was like, thanks, sweetie. I really, like, affirming her. Like, I'll take that affirmation.
Absolutely. That's so good.
She was proud of you.
Yeah, she's owning it.
Proud of how poopy you are.
I am the best poop. So that's how my child defines
me. My mom's a poop.
That's great.
Rose can't talk yet, so we haven't gotten to that phase.
No,
so
she knows what she's saying.
She knows what she's saying. She says dog pretty pronounced.
Even if it's a giraffe.
But that's about it.
Nice.
Dog?
So she has not called us poop yet.
No.
We're also in the midst of potty training, so that's also partly why.
Oh, so it's part of it.
Poop is life.
She needs to know.
How's that going? Yes, poop is bae.
poop is life. It's going well. You will probably get so many opinions and advice on how to do it.
Keep their distance from parents and telling them what to do. They're really good about not, overstepping their bounds or anything, so we should be okay.
I love that.
That's so funny.
It's hilarious. So anyway,
that's like top humor that I can't top.
I love it.
You're not wrong.
Well, yeah, that's
right. solid sarcasm.
Yeah. Solid sarcasm points. It was good. I honestly didn't read a lot of books about it. I just started, once she
was she interested. Loves stickers, so we were like, look, if you go pee or poop, you're gonna get stickers. That literally worked. And,
hey, man, play to your strengths. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Use it. That's excellent.
So she started, I just started putting her on there, and I was like, okay, a sticker every time you try. And then, yeah, she just started going for it. And she's in school 3 days out of the week. And so the school also works with her right now. So it's a daycare program, but they work with her and they encourage her. And I think seeing some of the other kids go probably also helped pressure her into it. The poop peer pressure is definitely there.
Positive poop peer pressure.
Yes. Positive, yeah.
The four P's of parenting.
The profoundly positive poop peer pressure.
There it is.
Can I be the title of the episode? Yes. Positive poop peer pressure?
Either that or poop is better. No, actually, I think you're right. That one was actually better. Yeah.
Positive poop pressure. That's it. That's the title.
Because I can go either way. Like, depends on what kind of pressure you're talking about. Yeah. Like, the pressure of, like...
Okay, no, we are going way too...
Yes. Like, if you give too much pressure, like, you might hurt yourself. Not enough pressure. Not all that comes out.
That's not good.
The men listening to this episode are going to love it.
Yeah, for real, right?
Oh my god.
Okay, let's shift it to the question that you wanted.
Well, first off, before we get into the question, let's introduce you guys.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us who you are?
Even though, honestly, they're probably here because they already know who they are and they're coming over here to learn about them. Right. But might as well just introduce yourself.
Just tell us who you are.
Go ahead, Tom.
Oh, hi. I'm Tommy. I'm a teacher at Lake Charles College Prep. I teach earth science and physical science, and I'm a part-time youth minister at a parish at Immaculate Conception in Sulphur.
Yeah, and I'm Katie. That's what we do. That's what you do.
That's what I do.
That's what you do. I'm Katie. I'm a speaker and an author and a mom. So that's really my main gig.
I'm a dad, too.
Yeah, you didn't say that. I'm also
and a husband.
A loving wife.
And a son. Brother.
But we make money by teaching and talking.
You're also a prince, a prophet, and a king.
Right. Yes. I virgin by baptism. Yes. Yeah.
Confirmed Catholic podcasters occasionally when we decide to.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
baptized
funny.
Christians.
Just like every title that a Christian has, you just start flowing off.
Disciples.
Beloved child of the Lord.
Thomas of House McGrady. Second of his name.
No. All so Game good. Of Thrones fans, yeah. Maybe some of your listeners. Nice. We'll hate that, but there. We're counting down. We're nice. Waiting.
That's so good.
So it's the only reason I have HBO. I could probably cancel it in between seasons.
Nah.
But nice. It's not worth it.
We never got into it.
Honestly, yeah. And it wasn't because of like this whole like fight about like what is the immoral or not. It's just like I never watched it.
I know. And I feel so behind now that I'm like, well.
Like it's such a cultural thing that everyone talks about that I'm like, dang it.
We
I
missed
don't
the
get
boat.
It.
We missed it.
I love dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, winter's coming. Nice. Still don't know what that means.
The winter's coming. Yeah. What does that mean? It's summer.
Right. Basically, I'm not going to go into that.
I'm a fan of spring myself. I can't wait for that book.
But this rate, he'll die before he finishes writing them.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, very
I read the book. I read the first book. Nice. And then we got super into the show. And now it's just like, I've got to know how it ends. I'm just committed to it. And I know that it ticks people off sometimes, but I'm committed to it.
We really don't care.
Yeah.
I'm in it to win it.
I don't announce it from Steubenville stages. Like, hello, everybody. I'm a Game of Thrones fan.
Go watch Game of Thrones,
I'm
kid.
A big fan of Daenerys Targaryen. Like, I don't say that kind of thing. But
so
I
let me
do
tell you
kind
how
of...
the Bible reflects the relationship between this incest couple.
It's basically like...
So go back to Sodom.
I read an article that like George R.R. Martin is trying to play off of Tolkien, but with like modern day themes. And it's like, there's nothing modern about sin. And so therefore anything that's in this book is basically what human beings have been doing since the very beginning.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It's just an updated version of creating a world that is a little, I would even say nerdier than Tolkien.
Oh, wow.
But that's just, we don't have to talk about it. I'm just saying.
You kind of want to talk.
No, I don't. I don't want to talk about nerd zeitgeist. That's not what I'm going towards. I'm just saying it's.
Okay, Ben.
It's not.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I love it. Yes.
There she is.
Anyway, that's who we are. And isn't it funny how we introduce ourselves by saying what we do, which is like the problem of our modern culture.
Yes.
So true. So, yeah, actually.
So true.
Yeah.
But I will say, though, even though you said environmental science, I had the best environmental science class when I was in high school. I know that's not what you're teaching now, but shout out to environmental science teachers.
What?
The coolest,
what? Yeah.
Coolest class. It was AP environmental science. which was really hard, I did not do great in it.
I was like, I know and I love you, babe, but you got into AP that?
The only thing I remember, the only thing I can remember off of that class is that I memorized all of the types of cacti.
Go.
I don't remember them anymore. Oh, but like, I remember that was like my strong suit in that class. I was like, anyone, every time we go on a field trip, I know that one.
Anna, what's this cacti? Girl, I got you.
Girl, I got it. I will tell you. It was so great.
It's the plural of cactuses.
I thought you said cat die.
Like, they can die anyway.
And for like the colors of cats or the ways they can die.
You know, your ways are out of skin of cat.
Exactly. They have nine lives.
Memorized them all.
I mean, honestly, you're not wrong though. Yeah, right. I would definitely like all cats to die.
Daniel has issues.
You, I liked you a lot. I mean, I don't mind cats as long as they stay in the road where they belong. But I mean, really, it's a good thing.
What if our child wants a cat?
Oh, there is a fight.
Decoration.
That's true. I fought for an inflatable in the front yard for Christmas and won purely on the grounds of Rose will smile every time she sees it.
And then she did. So had to keep it.
So now it's there.
I lost
and
again.
And it's so tacky. What is it of? It. It's Clark Griswold being electrocuted. Somebody gave it to us.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, it's the best Christmas movie ever made.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I hate inflatables.
But it's pretty tacky looking. It's not blown up right now. You haven't.
No, it is. I just.
Oh, you did.
It.
Oh, okay.
Wait,
so
is it like
our neighbor's
like his actual face, or is it like a cartoon
it's like,
face?
It's like it's the logo of the movie.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Santa suit, which is not a part of the movie at all. It's why it's kind of dumb. But
a local friend of ours,
a long distance friend.
We do. I would say the people I'm closest to are actually not in town, which is weird sometimes. But she's a Protestant pastor at like a mega church in town. And so they did this big like kickoff for Advent. I'm not quite sure what they did, but they had inflatables and we inherited one. So there we go.
Nice.
Yeah. So there we go. We have Clark Griswold in our front yard.
I can still say I never bought an inflatable.
Pastor
so
Schneider.
Hang on to
keep
that.
On to that. Yes. Keep on to
that prideful bit.
Hang your coat on that for now. But there is a fight going on between Lily and Daniel because Daniel called cats weird. And Lily, now every time, even though Daniel is not in the room, she will come up to me and say, Mommy, Daddy said cats are weird. They're not weird. I was like, okay. And she'll just like storm off. I'm like, okay.
You say, well, Daddy's weird. Yeah.
She's like, I will try to pacify it in the car. I'm like, okay, guys. You know, like,
well, okay, cause
cats
like,
are not weird.
So
no,
I egg her on.
They're evil.
Yes.
She needs to know that.
Yes.
Evil is real and there's cats and math to prove it.
No, legit. Well, and like, she'll say like just literally out of nowhere, cats aren't weird. And I go, yes, they are. No, they're not. Yes, they are. And like, I get like the dad voice and she's like, no, they're not.
Yes, they are. And go to your room.
Yes. And I actually asked her, I was like, is this the hill you want to die on? She goes, yeah.
She has no idea what that means.
Oh, teenage years.
Does she watch that show Ollie and Moon?
No.
So there's Rose every now and then I'll put it on. It's like these adventure cats that go all around the world. I introduced it to Rose because they get on an airplane and I'm trying to introduce her to the concept of mommy getting on airplanes to go to work. And they're cats, but you can't really tell they're cats. But I have a feeling she might like cats because she really likes that little show.
Gosh. Katie, wow. You need to have a crucial conversation.
Where have you gone wrong? Yeah. I mean, you try to raise them, right?
You chose to marry me.
Is this grounds for annulment, guys? I mean, inflatables, cats. I'm just.
If I had known she was a cat person.
I mean, I'm not a cat person. I just don't know that they're evil. My sister is a canon lawyer student, so.
Have you met a cat?
You know, we'll have to ask her.
But Katie, is it true that book lovers are cat lovers?
And
I
loners.
Mean, cats, and what?
And loners.
I think cats are better animal companions when you're reading because they'll just like sit there versus dogs who need constant petting and constant attention. Dogs are very narcissistic. Cats are introverted.
Cats think they run the universe. They are very narcissistic.
So they're introverts. But anyway, you're not one. You don't know.
Certainly
I'm
going
to be honest. I wasn't anticipating this would be
this is
the topic we end up on with the
You want a substantive podcast, you come to the right place. Talking about cats and puke and all things in between. No, we started with puke.
We started with puke.
Yes.
The pre-recording was all about puke.
Anyway.
Aren't you sad you missed it?
If you're still listening, we'll actually talk about real things.
Yeah, for real, right?
Lead the way, donut
way.
Couple.
We did do poop.
Then, yes, too. We did. Well, so then perfect segue to lead the way. Did they introduce everything that we wanted them to about who
I
they were?
So. Well, and so you guys have your podcast, which is The Electric Waffle. And so we do want to circle back to that because we definitely want to talk about married couples online.
And like how they create content.
And how you guys create content because there's not a lot of us out there. And so I do want to circle back around to that. But something that has been really prevalent in our marriage that I kind of want to dive deep, if it's okay with y'all, is the whole working parents, like full-time working parents with one kid right now, and you know, the different side hustles, and that includes the podcasting and the media stuff, and how do you manage it all? What are some things that you guys have found to work? What are some things that you found that do not work at all for your family? Kind of just like unpack that a little bit. Cause I know that's something that's been really, present these last couple of weeks, specifically for us, just like, how do we navigate all of it and still stay afloat and catch our breath?
Well, and there are some things that we've realized that could drastically change in the future that we kind of want to, not talk about quite yet, but kind of pick some brains of people who are in semi the same like vein that we are. I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on that.
Yeah.
How we manage it? Well, short answer is we don't.
Somehow I manage.
Yes.
Somehow I manage. That was a great reference.
Yes.
Oh, no. We're office heads, too.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do, like, a crossover on the other side on our podcast.
That is a really part of how you manage. You watch an unhealthy amount of television. And, just binge
act
it.
Like nothing's wrong.
That's right, because if you can dive into other universes, things aren't that bad there.
Yes.
And so when you come back into your regular life, you're not drowning as bad.
Or maybe you are, because you've forgotten and ignored everything for so long.
You go further down the stream, though, and maybe there's an eddy you can kind of follow. Yeah.
It kind of makes me want to go off the grid and run to a train and never come back.
Yeah.
Or pull a full Ron Swanson and have three cabins with gold hidden in the backyard.
Two cabins.
Two.
Yeah, good call.
Please tell me y'all listen to Somehow I Manage the Podcast.
What?
You would love that podcast.
Okay.
It's an office podcast, and they go through.
Can I just paint a picture real fast of the excitement and like the utter like child imaginative love that I just saw come from the faces of the McGrady's?
I'm
if you want
right
to see
now.
It, go to our Patreon page because we post the video of this podcast. Like, they were legitimately, like, their entire life stopped.
So I wouldn't recommend it to everyone because it's how sometimes, you know how sometimes if you over-explain a joke, it loses its funniness? So that's why I'm like, I think it's hilarious. And they go back and show how, like, threads of commentary have followed throughout the season. And there's, like, so many hidden trivia. You guys would definitely love it.
Okay. The original idea for the Electric Waffle was, it was just going to be a podcast talking about those shows.
Yeah.
And then I was going to start a separate podcast where I was doing interviews with American Catholics, essentially. That was kind of like the dream. And we were driving up to Pennsylvania for our family road trip over the summer. And I was like, I don't really want to do two. Like, I don't even know how to do one.
Right.
We literally stopped at a Barnes & Noble on the trip to buy Podcasting for Dummies because I like needed to understand because the hosting and all that and equipment. Yeah. And it's a whole world. That
praise the Lord for Fireside, right?
Right. Oh, yes. It's worth the $19 a month.
Absolutely.
So we decided to kind of merge them, and it didn't turn into what I wanted originally, which was like actually unpacking character arcs and looking at stories.
Yeah, we had a whole concept map for both seasons.
Yeah,
and
threw them out the window. We kept a couple the same, but once we started incorporating like pop culture and Catholicism, and realized like that's more fun than just talking about the same shows.
Right.
But I think one of the ways we manage that. And like that whole concept of the side hustle versus ministry versus like we need health insurance, so one of us always has to have a real job, which is a reality because, you know, you have to survive in this world. I never try to take any of it too seriously. So like even in speaking, which is my career and how I'm helping pay the bills, like if it becomes the pearl of great price for me, like I only want to get gigs or I only want to be on the road or I only want to be able to charge this amount of money, then I'm going to just going to pull the plug and stop doing it.
Right.
Because otherwise there's no joy in that. Mm-hmm. And when it's joyless, I have no desire to do it. And so then the whole rest of the house suffers.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think another way that we manage, and maybe you guys have found this too, is that doing a podcast together kind of forced us to have couple conversation.
To talk.
I mean to actually unpack things that we've been thinking about or going through or whatever, because otherwise we are so incredibly busy that time just kind of melts away. Mm-hmm. Right. So to be able to sit down and have intentional conversation time to laugh, to talk, to debate, to whatever, has been really good to help, you know, fine tune that rhythm of life that we're still trying to settle into.
Yeah. Right. Keep us rooted. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think when couples are in ministry, so we worked at a school together for 2 years.
You weren't always a speaker, right? How long have you been doing the professional speaking?
Yeah.
She's been speaking since she was 9.
Yeah. My mom always wanted me to get a job where people would pay me to talk. So I was a Catholic school teacher from 2012 to 2017. Okay. So 5 years. And then a parish youth minister at the same time. But I was always kind of traveling like on the side as a side hustle. So it turned into a full-time gig May of 2017. And we sitting in a Best Buy parking lot. That's a story. Sitting in a Best Buy parking lot in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. I had a job offer on the table to go teach history at a local public school. And I was like, that's a for sure thing. That's a real job. That's health insurance. That's benefits. That's a sure thing versus waiting for emails and hustling to get people to bring you in, which is sometimes kind of skeevy because like I don't like the whole self-promotional aspect of the speaking world.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I still have a hard time with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I hate it. And I'm sitting in the parking lot and Tommy's in the car. He was there to buy a charger for your Chromebook because he lost the charger.
Did I lose?
And I was just having this existential crisis of, is this the right move? Like, do I want to do ministry full time? Am I going to hate it because it's not my job? And he just said, go for it. Like, we'll make this work. And this is what the Lord is calling you to. And literally within a month, my calendar was booked through the next spring, which was kind of like the Lord's way of saying like, that was the right call. And that was, I mean, I think that was kind of the solidification of, we can do that as long as one of us has boots on the ground and a real job. Mm-hmm. And one of us, not that speaking is not a real job and not that ministry is not a real job, but then that kind of keeps us tethered to reality.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of wandered a little bit.
It's become the grounding force to me being in the school. So I have a regular rhythm of I go to work, I come home, I go to work, I come home. Mm-hmm. And so when Katie's schedule gets, you know, wonky and crazy, there's still a consistent rhythm for Rose and for us. So, and also allows Katie a soft place to land when she does come home.
I need 24 hours of reentry time every time I come back from a gig.
Yeah.
And multiple drinks.
Right. But that's how we've done. I mean, it's been the creation of this podcast space to kind of
unpack that, explore that, have fun with it.
Decompress.
I mean, you guys with the YouTube channel, like how has that gone? Like balancing all of that in your life?
Yeah. It's been because we also have our headphones don't go the right way.
Yeah, the media, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, how real do we want to get right now?
All the way,
because people expect. No, I'm just kidding. Let's not pull the curtain too much, but okay. I think we can be a little.
So this
vulnerable.
Isn't because of who's on the podcast. It's more so there's things that we might be announcing soon that could affect a lot of things. But it's been interesting because, to be frank, Anna doesn't like it.
Yes, the YouTube channel. I love the podcast. Oh yeah, yeah, I love the podcast. But I think
actually, let's rephrase that. You don't like necessarily the logistics of planning it, recording it, editing it, all that stuff. Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
The management of it.
Oh,
right. It's a lot of work. It's great in theory. It's great, you know, and not to sound prideful, but it's great when, you know, people
it works and
people open up to us on the channel and you're just like, oh my gosh, like, thank you that you just bared your soul and sent me a heartfelt email.
Yeah, we
like,
had a comment that said, like, I was thinking about leaving the church this week, but then I saw your videos and I decided not to.
Like things like that. I'm just like, praise God. What? Like, ministry, right? Yeah. So it's very ministerial. There's a part of me that loves, obviously, that aspect of, like, being able to open up our home virtually and have people be welcomed no matter where they're at in their journey, right? But when it comes to once you kick those people out of your virtual house, right, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna close the door, then that's the hard part, like the logistics, the planning, the the stress of it all, and the other part is It's actually really funny. Tommy is saying about he has a consistent routine because I feel like both of our jobs are inconsistent. And so we're doing the full-time working parent into...
They're consistent in the fact that they never work together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have
shifts in the night.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I've got stuff I got at night.
He's a youth minister. Sorry, and you're you work in the evenings most of the time, and so I I come in the morning.
The nights where you can't necessarily do stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so that has been a transition for sure. And then the first 2 years with Lily, I was a stay-at-home mom, and so this is very new.
Well, how is being a stay-at-home mom?
Which I I want to definitely talk to Katie about this because I thought being a stay-at-home mom was everything that every Catholic woman wanted to be. And that it was like this glorified role. Like once you're married, you know, you went to college, you got your degree. Great. But like once you're married and you have a kid, you're staying home. And don't get me wrong.
And then you married a youth minister.
And then I married a youth minister.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Dang it, you guys. And not to say that I don't love my child. I absolutely adore her. I do want to spend every waking moment with her because I cherish her. But those 2 years, I was definitely not healthy.
Say that you drove yourself insane.
I basically, but I never want to exaggerate.
I'm not saying you actually were insane.
Non-literal sense.
In the phrase.
I was like not myself at home and didn't feel healthy. My mental state was not healthy. And so then when I took this job, I definitely feel fulfilled in a way that being a stay-at-home mom doesn't fulfill me, right? And so it's just so weird because there's so much mom guilt, Catholic guilt, spousal guilt, right? Like I'm not here all the time and our house is a mess and I could be doing a better job if I stayed home.
But then I did stay home.
We're in one corner of our kitchen right now.
Yeah.
Because it's the one clean part of the house.
Yeah. I love it. So I know that we've had guests on before that are working parents too, but I definitely wanted to talk to y'all about this and see, how I don't know. Now I'm rambling, but it's been hard.
Good. No, yeah.
I think they did a very good job of explaining a lot of how somehow they manage.
Yeah.
But every time I hear the word manage, that's the first thing I think.
I know.
Every single time. Oh,
so fun office trivia fact, and then I'll unpack what you were saying. I am doing a rewatch of season 3 right now to try to glean really good quotes for the electric waffle. And there's a shot of, I started it when I was on the road. Sorry, babe. That's one thing that we fight about a lot is the shows that we each watch separately. When I'm on the road, I get lonely and I just want to watch Michael Scott and Parks and Rec without you.
Or Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So anyway. Oh, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Wait, where do you watch it? Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
On Hulu.
We haven't done Hulu yet.
NBC's about to get it on their app though because they acquired the show. It's coming back in January.
Are we going to be able to watch all the previous seasons?
I think so. I mean, all 5 seasons are up on Hulu with NBC's logo. So I think they've acquired it fully. But there's this. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Because I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So good.
But she hasn't had a chance to watch it yet because it's not online anywhere.
Yeah,
she's seen little bits here and there. And like, this is the show that actually made me like Andy Samberg. So she's like, it has to be good.
Yeah. I used to hate him.
Except for when I'm on a Boat came out.
Yeah.
I liked him.
The Lonely Boys. Lost Island.
Those guys.
See, I don't even care about his career. But anyway, that brief of trivia, there's a zoom in on Jim when he's at the Stamford branch. And his nameplate says Jim Halpert, Assistant Regional Manager. Like that was his title when he was in Stamford. So like, I don't know why they didn't use that nameplate on his desk somewhere later on when he was in Scranton to rub it in Dwight's face.
Dwight threw it away.
Maybe. I don't know. But anyway,
he becomes the co-manager?
Oh, he
was. No, that's like season 5.
Yeah, you're right.
He's still in Stanford, and that's his title there. No, and then when they merge, he becomes number 2.
He does become number 2, yeah.
But they never call him that assistant.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
I thought it was interesting that they used that same language. It's a little...
Yeah, that's a sick Easter egg to find there,
yeah.
Katie.
I just called it a goose egg in my head. I know that's not what it is.
Yo, that's a big zero. A big goose egg. That was it.
Big loss. Big loss.
No cost.
It's a big L you took.
A big goose egg I found.
For the Patreon supporters, egg on my face. A goose egg on my face.
That's a big
Although, Patreon supporters, you missed a really cute, well, you're going to see the really cute moment when he
just wiped it. Yeah, don't touch my face. See that? Yeah, he would never. I would never let him do that.
Me when I didn't see it.
Oh, you wiped me
when I was like this because you had your eyebrow all funky.
You're sweet. Oh, thanks. So with the management of like working mom life, do you feel that other moms shame you for working? Because that's been a reality, especially on Instagram and Twitter lately in my life. Like, I had this really awful lady send me this nasty message a few weeks ago about how like I should put aside all of my busyness for like the next 15 to 18 years while I'm raising children, because I can always be productive, but I can never have these years back with my kids. And I wanted to respond to her. The synod is only happening right now. Like, this is a very timely, relevant thing. Yeah. So no, I do need to be working. And then I felt kind of sorry for her, cause it's like, you probably never had that outlet. You probably never felt like you were, I hate to say professionally productive, because obviously we're productive in our homes as stay-at-home moms, and I'm not knocking stay-at-home mom life, but I know that I would go absolutely insane and crazy if I didn't have some sort of work to do besides just raising Rose, which is the most important work I'll ever do. But I also get to speak to young people across the country. Like, that's important work. And I get to write. That's important work. And those are necessary things, I think.
I mean, there's so much to who you are as a person. And
they should be integrated. It shouldn't be this segmented thing. And I think working moms, more than working dads, because the number one question I get on the road is, well, who's taking care of Rose? Mm. And I just always look back, well, her father. I'm like, yeah, but who's helping him? Well, I mean, if he needs help, he can call my parents, but he often doesn't because he's a perfectly capable human being.
Yeah.
And like, I shouldn't have to defend my husband's fatherhood.
Yeah.
So strange to somehow think that I'm neglecting my motherhood by being professionally productive.
Right.
And that, I think, is just, it's a nasty little subculture within our Catholic Church that, that people assume that women are only made to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. I hate it. I really do.
Even today, I saw like some person that I went to high school with posted this like Facebook meme or whatever. It's like an image and said like, no, I don't pay other people to raise my children. I had a child. Therefore, I meant to stay home and raise them. And it was like, OK, I'm unfollowing you.
I'm a daycare kid. Your mom stayed home.
My mom stayed home. Yeah. And whatever works for your family unit, because every family unit, all the dynamics are completely different. You need to do what's right for your family, and no one should be able to say, oh, well, you should be doing this. Well, you could shut up about that. Like, this is why I can't be on Twitter, because every time I see things about that people write about Katie, I just want to eviscerate everybody because I hate them.
I was wondering why Tommy wasn't on Twitter. Okay, that's all makes sense.
I'm there.
He's a voyeur. Tommy is a Twitter voyeur. Yeah, he reads and he never comments.
That's right. I don't want to say anything.
No.
Because I know I'm just going to get into an argument about something, some minutia, and I don't want to deal with it because it's all meaningless. It's stupid. Can we just go do real things instead of staring at my phone like I'm done?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they make stupid arguments, stupid attacks at people trying to do their best and share their gifts, instead of trying to find the good and the virtue in it, they want to attack it saying, well, it's not traditional enough. Oh, it's too conservative. How about you just shut up and live it, right? Oh, my God.
How do you really feel?
How do you really feel?
You know?
I don't really feel well.
Well, that wasn't even it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Nathaniel's going to have to bleep out like everything. These mother.
Get the fire out of me. And
there you go.
That's good. So funny.
I don't think I would be the mom that I am if I wasn't working. Like, I think it informs my motherhood, it doesn't detract from it.
I think, as cheesy as it sounds, a healthy mom is the best mom. Like,
you didn't answer a question though.
What question?
Have other moms shamed you?
Yes. Yeah. And I know that there's a particular person that will never listen to the podcast, and so I'm hoping I can talk about them. Like,
because I was like, is there a specific mother you want to talk about?
Yeah. My own mom.
Yeah.
Is a big factor in that. And I don't think she does it to my face at the moment. Like right now. But I know that I grew up with this really distorted view of motherhood because she was a stay-at-home mom. And I remember her saying multiple times, like, when you grow up, like, being a stay-at-home mom is the only thing. Like good moms that love their children stay home. And so for me, that's like this ingrained, like repetitive cycle of like this voice memo in my head that keeps playing in my mother's voice. Right. And so it's very hard to sometimes even feel like I have to explain certain decisions that Dino and I make. And again, there are times where I think she definitely bites her tongue and doesn't, you know, critique or criticize. But I know that she is not okay with it. And then therefore I come home and I'm like, I know she's upset. I know she's mad. I'm not good enough. Like, I know that she thinks less of me because of this. Like, and so it's very hard to deal with. A lot of times we talk about the father wounds, and father wounds are very real. They're very deep. I have those too. But a lot of times we forget that mothers also wound us. Even the best moms wound us. And so I love my mom. I think, you know, she raised me in a very loving home. But there are certain things that I have that are very toxic and affect how I live my marriage out right now. So definitely.
Should we unpack those right now? Just on I'm joking.
No, I mean, it's an interesting point. It's amazing as you go through the journey of marriage and of parenthood. How many things you have to unlearn and let go of.
That you learned from your family.
Yeah.
From your family or friends or life experience. We have to unlearn and let go of some things. And also, I mean, and the really hard part is to look back through it with mercy and recognize they were trying to do the best that they were trying to do at that moment.
Right.
And just as we're trying to do the best we're trying to do at that moment. It's really hard to offer that up. It's really hard to walk that road because that jury box in our head, whether your mom says anything to you or not, in your head, she might as well have said it because you know what she was thinking. Right. So whether it comes out or not, it's still very present. But I think you recognizing that your gifts as a mother and your gifts in your professional life, I mean, they're complementary and they go hand in hand and they feed one another. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be able to be as good at your job if you didn't have the time you have at home with your, you know, with your kids. And so, and vice versa, you know, it should feed into the other. And if it stops feeding into the other, then that's a reevaluation. But as long as that's happening, then I think you're
right. And nothing's permanent. Like, that's the other part that I had to realize is that decisions that we make aren't forever. And I think it's unhealthy.
To a certain extent,
To a certain extent. I mean, obviously, like, the main decisions.
The scars could be there forever.
Right. But, like, yeah, like, even decisions like this, like, I love working, but who knows? Like, in a year, in 2 years, in 10 years, like, am I still going to be working? And maybe not, you know? Like,
if we have more children and all that,
How is that going to play out? And so I know that right now, my decision to work is the best decision for our family unit.
Agreed.
And then you just take it a month, a year at a time.
Yeah.
Just
take it by bit.
Right. You hold those decisions loosely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When isn't it funny too when things change? I feel like Catholics have that, what they're doing right now is what they will always be doing forever and ever. Amen. And so when there's any type of little shift in somebody, especially, I mean, with y'all, you show so much of your lives online that when everybody feels like, A, they can have an opinion, therefore. Yeah. And so, B, when you then change something or make a different decision, everybody wants to know why.
Right.
And everybody wants to then contribute another opinion on, well, I don't know that that's the best thing for y'all to be doing.
And if they would have asked me, I'd have
said. Yeah. And so, like, maintaining those digital boundaries are really difficult sometimes. Mm-hmm. I went a couple of days a few months ago where I didn't post any Insta stories. Like, life was too busy and I had too much going on to have my face in a phone. And I was getting messages from people like, where's our Daily Rose video? And I wanted to be like,
not yours.
Back the hell off
for
a second. Like, that's my kid and I'll show her to you when I want to.
I'm sorry for asking.
And so
that.
Like,
sorry for messaging you, Katie.
My bad, Katie. I'll shut the hell up.
I unfollowed you. maintaining that boundary professionally and digitally and then even personally, like among family sometime, like, it's just, it's a fine line. And sometimes I wish we could just go off and live on like a commune and then only see certain people or talk to certain people at certain points of our lives because we don't want their commentary or we don't want their opinions.
I think that's one of the biggest pitfalls of our current culture is that, you know, when my
communes,
Lack of cuffs.
Yeah, yeah, precisely.
Cults. Bring them back.
Bring them back.
A lot of money in cults.
That actually might be the name of the episode. There's a lot of money in cults.
A lot of money in cults. You should join ours.
Yeah. I mean, when my parents made a decision, they only had to justify it and convince themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's almost like we feel that any decision that any couple makes or any person makes under this microscope of social media. Like my mom stayed at home, my sister and I, for 3 or 4 years, and then she went back to work, you know, and
nobody cared.
The only person who had to be okay with that and the only people who had to decide on that was my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to justify it to anybody or put up with any of the backlash. My dad wouldn't have cared out of the way, but still in our world, it's like, well, you make the decision, you're waiting for that backlash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it clouds and muddies the water of seeing, no, this is the right thing for me and my family.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Yeah.
So how do y'all remind yourself of that in your marriage? So we usually have three different questions for our interview, I'm loving this and I want to keep going with it. And I'm the director of the podcast, so whatever.
I'm the owner. Yeah. I'm the owner.
Why?
Happy life.
I'm going to have a tattoo on my forehead.
So funny.
So good. Okay. So as a married unit, obviously we know that like we chose our spouses for a reason, right? And there are so many times though, especially in this specific struggle of full-time working parents, that there are times when I look at my husband and I'm like, praise God I married you, because if I had to, well, I've said this to you,
right, let's
especially
make out. Let's make out. Let's make out.
Hence my look. You gotta say that about me. She's
saying
that about him.
We'll see what she has.
Hey, y'all do it. We'll make out a little bit. We're fine.
You guys talk about it.
Talk about it. It's good. You know. Cover up the mic.
Cover the screen.
That's good. Okay, what are you saying? Sorry.
No, but there are times where I look at you and I'm like, praise God, because I married a very confident, convicted husband, or a man that I mean, you were a man before you were a husband, and so you are very strongly lackadaisical about what people say, and I take on too much. I care way too much about what people say, and so
keep it coming. Keep going.
I want to hear about, yeah, like, are there times where you both look at each other and you're like, man, I couldn't do this with anybody else, and there's graces definitely present the marriage. Yeah,
I'm a disorganized mess. Okay. And so Katie's type A scheduled personality, like it mm-hmm. keeps.
High five. There we go.
Hi, yes.
High five, girlfriend.
It really just grounds everything. And the systems that she has put in place, like.
Even just the bottle organizing system.
It helped because I
the whiskey bottle organization.
Yeah,
system.
Yeah, well, that's mine. True. I clean it. I go dust.
Nice.
I think always like recognizing more and more that where I'm weak in so many areas, she's very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's I'm eternally grateful for all of that to kind of. Because without that, what we're trying to do mm-hmm. would have already fallen apart with the amount of stress and life that has been, you know, on our shoulders these last couple of years. You know, without her strength and without her, I don't know, discipline, for lack of a better term. No.
Her dictatorship. Her anarchy.
My Anna, because I despise systems, and so I want to be contrarian sometimes for the sake of being contrarian. But
there's a rule. I'm gonna break it.
Yeah.
That's
right. Life. Don't walk on the grass.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna walk on the grass. Don't touch.
I'm gonna buy cleats to run on the grass.
I cannot wait to see Rosie do all of this.
the paper towel dispensers in the bathrooms use two hands. I'm using one.
Yeah. Just
or none.
He just shakes his hands and walks off.
Get on the ground, like you lose your feet.
I mean, all that to be said. I mean, it's relying on her and allowing myself to recognize I'm weak here and I suck here, and I need lean on my wife for this part. So
for me with Tommy, it's been a lesson of like he's able to keep things going. When I'm ready to just totally throw in the towel, give up, completely veg out, and I don't want to do this anymore, there's this constant affirmation and joy from him that I think really keeps the house. So like, while the systems that we've worked out together, like even just simple stuff like how the kitchen is organized versus, you know, like this is where the dirty clothes go, all the way to here's our budget and here's how we pay the bills. None of that would work if there wasn't this like this force of nature of, all right, let's do it. Like, yeah, he's contrarian.
Hydration packs.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little like this, I must do it. I can't stop. And also Tommy's got a dreaming streak to him that I don't have. So like, I constantly think of like, okay, well, this is what we have to do to survive. All right. So we'll do it. Versus Tommy, who's like, okay, but what would your dream be? Like, what would you want to do? And like, what can I do to make that happen? And even though like right now, like maybe he's not in his dream job, or like this is what he wants to do forever is teach environmental science at a charter school in Louisiana. There's this commitment to, well, that's what's right for our family. So I'm going to continue dreaming and I'm going to continue thinking, but I'm also going to remain committed to what's making it work for our family. And so I really, really appreciate that. He also has a really cute butt. So
Dino does too. Okay, wait, stop it, yep. You guys. You talked about being a dreamer. You talked about being disorganized. And you talked about a cute butt. Did we marry the same man?
All I'm saying is I think Tommy and I are perfect for each other.
I think you guys are perfect.
We'll take the girls and go on a girl's adventure. Yeah.
You, me, and David Leidinger used to just go on a vacation somewhere, and that's
so down.
And Katie and Rachel and I will go have some mimosa somewhere.
Well, we're doing I've got Steubenville Mid-America this summer, so we're staying for 3 weeks afterwards and just hanging out with all of our St. Louis friends.
That's so good.
And like testing the city out. That's like a dream place. I would live there one day, maybe. Like, I would be willing to do it. They have a great airport too. So I'm like, bro, St. Louis's airport.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of why I like living in Houston too, because they've got a lot of that.
Right, right.
As well.
We do love Houston very much, but our one of our top fave cities is St. Louis for sure too. We fell in love with it pretty quickly.
Start the commune.
There it is.
Right there.
St. Louis.
That's where we're starting our cult. There it is.
That's already there. It's called Cardinal Fans.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. That is so funny.
Right, yeah, because you're a Cubs fan, right?
I am. I lived in Chicago for a year, nice. And my boss was a White Sox fan. So there was a guy at the parish who would give us Cubs tickets just to tick the pastor off.
Fantastic.
So I get to go to games. Yeah, yeah. It was one of the most wealthy areas of the Chicagoland area, Lake Forest. So Oprah has a house there. It's where Vince Vaughn went to high school. Just super swanky. So like, it was no big deal for them to be like, yeah, here's 10 Cubs tickets for your staff.
That was
the regular.
It's so cool.
The same thing here in Houston.
Like, oh, wow.
Sugarland's, yeah, it's a nice area.
Yeah, it's
awesome. Very nice.
Yeah, so which I can't complain about well-to-do parishes. I grew up in a well-to-do parish. I've been the beneficiary of a salary from a well-to-do parish. So I think ministry in those kinds of places is sometimes even harder because like the kids and the families don't even know what they don't really have.
You should have been on my confirmation retreat.
Yeah,
this past
he just
weekend.
Got off his retreat.
You are not
about
wrong.
An eye of a needle or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So you're running confirmation, Daniel. That's your gig. That's awesome.
Well, and I'm also helping out with the high school, but my main role is confirmation. Yeah,
it's a pretty big parish. There's 3 on your team, and that's just the youth ministry
team.
We have
like 550 registered for our high school.
Yeah,
over 200 for confirmation. Yeah,
incredibly large. But yeah. Also, so, we said the name of the parish on the podcast. Is that okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
How do you manage?
Somehow.
Somehow.
Oh, it was too easy.
How do you manage the hours that it takes to build and sustain a successful youth ministry program with married and family life?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was doing it in Scranton, single, 50, 60 hours a week, not a problem.
No big deal.
Couldn't do that now.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, what do you?
Ooh, dad youth minister talk. Go. We talked about Catholic mom guilt. Now let's go. Dad talk. Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with my time in the classroom and then also with the parish and trying to keep all those things up in the air. How are you doing at a parish where like you want to just dive all your time into it? How are you finding the balance there? What's the trick?
I've learned to be really good at compartmentalizing, honestly. I'm really good at setting boundaries and sticking to them. But I also, it's also because I've been able to do this at a lot of other parishes, but this is the only parish that agrees with my boundaries. a lot of the times it's always like, well, like, you really can't leave right now because, like, you need to fulfill your hours. It's like, I was just here until 10 p.m. last night. And
right.
It's been that balance. Yeah, I think that's the number one thing is I've been able to say, like, when I leave work, I'm leaving work. And of course, there might be a couple times like where I'm like, I need to nudge on that here and there. But for the most part. Yeah. What?
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, having that community around you that recognizes, he was here. And being a youth minister is not an 8-to-5 job. And like that, that's really helpful.
And if anyone tells you that, it's a load of bull.
Part-time ministry. Part-time ministry is my favorite joke.
We'd really like to see you in your office. No.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see you with my teens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Say that's the father. That's right. No. But do you find that you now work more efficiently?
Yeah. So, and the other thing is actually I work really well with systems, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like I've had severe ADHD my entire life. So I've learned to like really focus on my task lists, really create systems that allow me to remember what I need to do, how I need to do it, when I need to do it. I took my strengths test, even though I can't stand all like the INFP, all that other stuff, but this is the thing I'm like, I actually agree with that.
Strength finders is legit.
Oh, okay. My top five. My first one is activator. Also, I've got responsibility. I've got woo. I've got,
I figured woo. Yeah,
for
woo.
Sure. But the funny thing is that none of them are relational. All five are not relational, period.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm the only one on my staff that has no relational and is in ministry.
Do you think you can grow in relational, though?
Yeah, but I'm great at relationships. That's the thing. Like,
oh, I'm just kidding.
a wife from nowhere. Oh, man.
Wow.
You're great at this relationship, and I'm so thankful for it.
You really don't think I'm good at relationship with teens?
With teens. Well... Yeah.
I thought you meant real people.
I thought you meant like real friends. You know, like not teens. Teens aren't real. The Senate doesn't think they're real. Oh, just kidding. They do. That was a sarcastic joke. I love the
Senate.
Okay,
good.
What was I saying?
Think I suck at my job?
No, I don't.
Right, but that's what he heard, to speak his truth.
Yeah. Yes. That is what I received. What do you have to say about that? No, I think you are good at relationships, but I can see how it's not a strength. There it is.
Expand. You can't just say that.
Let's wrap it up. This is a
podcast. No, we are not done. Why would you say that?
I think there are times where you could be a better...
This is the first time you've ever told me this.
A better friend.
Huh?
I think there are times where you could be a better friend. You could try a little harder to be a better friend.
All right, let's talk about your flaws. So I think...
You're so good at this.
Oh my gosh, you're the worst.
Oh man. But going back to the systems thing, it is really funny hearing some of the stories from when you were a kid. Because your mom would tell me that like... She would tell you, like, go clean your room, and she would open up the closet and, like, everything would fall out. Or there was, like, a pile under his bed where he just, like, shoved everything. But when she told you, but when she told you to go, like, okay, I need you to go pick up your socks. I need you to go fold your clothes. I need you, like, you would do so well when it was, like, broken down for you. And then it was, like, directional, right? Like, you knew exactly what to do and you could get it done. So it's really funny seeing how that still works for you to this day. It's really awesome.
So then direct me to relationships, Anna.
He's not gonna let this go. Oh,
no, we're definitely not letting this go.
Long after this is over, they're still gonna be talking about it.
Because
we're
everyone I've worked
with, 99.
Yeah, right. Because everyone I've worked with is like, you're really good at relationships with teens.
I think you're good at getting them to open up. Very good.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you are very good at making them feel comfortable enough to open.
It's probably somewhere in that, you know, that's the Strength Finder stuff.
You should go see what they say.
I would disagree. I mean, your woo is very relational.
Yeah.
Because in order to be a good youth minister, you have to win them over because they walk in going no. So you have to have that fight to win them over.
Yeah. See, yeah. Tommy.
Don't you dare lean
Tommy.
On Tommy right now. Don't you dare do that, Anna.
I agree.
Should we just call them in?
Everything he said. This is.
Should we just call him in every time we have a disagreement like this?
No, this is literally the dinner party. episode.
I don't care what they say about me.
I just want to eat.
Babe.
Good luck paying me back on your $0 a year salary. Plus benefits, babe.
How dare you? You know I have soft teeth.
That's an oaky afterbirth.
Oh, yes.
To Jim's face.
Jan thinks he's very talented. You know, I don't think he's that good.
It's not the quintessential Office episode.
No, that
is
the injury.
A very good.
So we do talk about humor in this podcast. What is, I believe humor is very much on shows for you in your marriage. What is your favorite Office episode? And your favorite Parks and Rec episode. And I feel like you've answered this online before.
Yep.
We have, but we're willing to share again.
Yeah.
My favorite Office episode is from season 5, Stress Reliefs Parts 1 and 2, with the fire at the beginning. And here's why. I have logic for it. Every single minor character is showcased in a unique way in that episode. So it's the full ensemble cast, which is what I think The Office is at its best. It's not just awkward episodes with Michael. It's the entire, it's called The Office, not the Michael Scott, when the whole office is together in that humor. So Stress Reliefs Parts 1 and 2, and it's a twofer, so you get 48 minutes of The Office. So yeah, I'm all
but you
about
also
it.
Get Jack Black and Cloris Leachman, which are not part of The Office. So
that was a weird
you
little
can't,
subplot.
You can't have cameos and let it be the quintessential Office episode. Anyway,
that was
the
really
is...
weird. That was really weird.
Thank you.
Subplot.
Thank
it's because
you.
They wanted to get Jack Black in there somehow.
Yes. So my favorite episode is the injury where Michael cooks his foot on the George Foreman.
Oh,
yes. Mike gets so a concussion. Good. He kind of becomes friends with Pam. It's just...
See you later, Pan.
Okay, so that's one of the episodes.
Dwight. Like, it is just... It is hysterical.
I'll miss you.
My joke.
You can't follow me. I don't work in this van. Yeah. Like, it's such a good episode. So, that's my
so they brought up in the Somehow I Manage, that was one of the episodes that I listened to, that they brought up some really cool storylines, how Dwight notices that Pam is playing with her Zune. And it was that she never got the iPod from... Yeah. From Roy.
He was going to buy an iPod, but he was going to save money, so he bought her the cheap version, which further illustrates why he's a crap boyfriend. Yeah.
Yes, sure. which they had already broken up at that point, but she was still like playing with it or like trying to figure it out and stuff. And Dwight notices it, like, you know, like he makes some comment about it. And it's really cool how like it ties to episodes past.
Except all the songs are in Russian.
Just kidding. It's a good one. It's a good one. I mean, it's not my favorite. This is favorite, and my favorite is Stress Reliefs.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Parks and Rec. I think we agree on this.
Yeah,
one.
We do. Yes.
It's called The Fight, and it's the episode where they all end up at the bar.
Snake juice.
Yes. That was gonna be mine.
That is so good. So
that's such really good.
And it's merely because of the one scene where they're all like mugging the camera drunk.
Oh yes.
And
Ron
Swanson's got April's hat on.
Yeah.
I love that whole Janet snake hole and Burt Macklin
story.
Ben's laugh. Yeah. Yeah. And then they're all hung over the next day, and Jan Parker, what's her name? Has chlamydia. Like, it's just a funny little episode.
I would say Silver Medal goes to The World Is Ending. The one where...
End of the World, where they have the party.
The last party, Entertainment 720.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
the
Zorks.
That's I feel like both of those shows really hit their stride in the mid parts of their runs.
For sure.
NBC doesn't end shows very well. Like, The Office ends really solid on its last episode, but it doesn't.
But leading up to the end.
The whole ninth season I can kind of do without, but
anyway,
that's, and we have found watching those shows together and like putting our phones down and watching rather than just like having it on as background noise and then quoting it together and laughing together. Like, that is a source, like, those are my favorite days. Like, I often joke on Twitter, like, whatever, like, eating ice cream and watching reruns of Parks and Rec is my love language. Like, I'll jokingly, because it really is a huge, I know a lot of people knock television, so I feel like I'm having to justify this, but I enjoy watching those shows.
People are idiots, Leslie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're never in.
You should also just stop working and be a stay-at-home mom. Just saying.
Yeah. You would have a lot more time.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait, okay. So
I get that one again. My gosh. Well, when is he getting a sibling? Yeah. When are you going to shut your mouth?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Whenever somebody asks us, like, is Lily getting a little brother? I'm like, so when's the last time you had sex? I literally ask them that. They're like, well, you're asking me when I'm going to have sex with my wife. Yeah, like, I don't know.
When is this episode going to drop? Do y'all know?
Next Monday.
Okay, so next Monday we will have gotten back from NCCYM, which is the National Conference for Catholic Youth Ministry. And Rose was our souvenir from the last NCCYM.
Nice.
When she goes over, can I do this? No way, Jose. Why do you guys always
say never
that?
Know why. But we have quite a few people who have since learned, whether through math or we've had conversations with them. And so, like, there's been this running joke with a few of my people via text message, like, so is this going to be the NCCYM?
That's amazing.
Low? Like, guys, I can't make eye contact with you if that's going to be something you text me ahead of time. Like, we're hoping to leave with a t-shirt this time around. Although we love it very
for
much.
For Rose to wear.
Very happy. Yeah, for Rose to wear, not for the next kid.
That's so funny.
So, but yeah, I hate that question.
So good.
Okay, wait. So to wrap up this episode, because we're hitting an hour.
My favorite is Scott's Tots.
Oh, it's so cringy and so good.
That's my favorite.
It's so painful. I always skip that
so
one.
So awkward.
I love it.
I took a hip-hop workshop from one of the dancers in Scott Tots' thing.
Way.
No. Legitimately.
Is it the one that he writes the check for and he backdates them?
Yeah. No, it was one of the girls, but that would have been hilarious.
Oh. Wait. They're lithium.
That makes it better. Okay, wait. So to complete the Michael Schur trilogy, what do you think about The Good Place? Do y'all watch it?
Love.
Straight fire.
It.
Yes. Because they also have a podcast.
Yes. Oh, I'm obsessed with their podcast.
It is so good.
So is it Sean Patrick Harris? The guy that plays Sean in The Good Place plays a role in Brooklyn Nine-Nine and also is the lawyer for Parks. So, like, there's so many crossovers in the universe. But I love that show merely because they gave us the nickname Little Tommy Quine for Thomas Aquinas.
Yes. And Lil Sebastian was in
the last one, yeah.
We haven't watched the last. We have one.
Oh, shoot.
No. No. Don't. Okay. That's fine.
It's good. No,
we're going to go
great.
Watch it afterwards.
Yeah. You'll need to keep your eyes peeled, though. Yeah, it's not like they highlight him. He. You have to, like, look for him.
But
he's in the.
Well, but then that means, is he in, without spoiling, is he in The Good Place? That's what I thought. I'm like,
they went to the void. He killed him again.
Okay.
So, it's a void. It's the void.
But yeah, and they do flashbacks to, like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll have to watch it. All right.
This is,
what's your favorite Office episode, Daniel?
You do like Dinner Party a lot.
Yes, I might have to go with Katie on this one.
I
think the
friendship
best
over.
I know, I'm sorry, but the best, like, right, 5 minutes of The Office is when they're slicing open the dummy.
Okay.
And Creed's like, and I know where I met you, or I've seen you in the parking lot.
Yep. And then,
first
and then
I was
he,
afraid.
They zoom out and he's just dancing. Yeah. I thought it's so good.
Yeah, that's a good Creed episode.
But, like, the quintessential Michael Scott moment is when he burns his foot on the. It's just like, that's like the
that
like office
Michael.
In a bit. It's so good.
I like waking up to the smell of cracking bacon. I mean,
and I don't have a butler.
It's delicious. It's good for me. You know, it's the best way to start the day.
Creed is the most underrated hysterical character.
I think Kevin is the guy I would want to get a beer with.
But Creed is the underrated Creed. One. Yes. But Kevin in Stress Relief, when he throws the chair to the vending machine.
It doesn't break. Oh, no, you're right. Sorry, that's
Michael.
Right.
It's when Michael throws the projector into the window.
Help!
Oh, it's so good. This is not how I'm going to end. Jim, like, goes into protective mode and, like, starts to lead people through.
What do you think about that theory, that fan theory, that Jim is the bully? Is it real?
I have said this often to us, to one, like, when we're watching, like, Jim's kind of a jerk sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's that one episode where he's listing off all the pranks that he played on Dwight.
Yeah.
And like, he's starting to realize progressively how like kind of cruel that stuff was. But
he does end well.
He does end well. And yeah. I really think if you look deeply at the character current of Jim,
right,
he's acting out because he's unfulfilled both personally and professionally.
Yeah, he's bored of his job.
He's bored, and he loves Pam and she doesn't love him back as far as he knows yet. So like, I think he's looking for an outlet.
Yeah. And he's also trying to get her attention.
He's the classic little boy on the playground, pulling the hair.
But then he's the best schminch. He becomes
And that's what I was going to say. Jim and Dwight's relationship, I think, is really central. I think that's the true romance of the show.
That's the best through line in the entire show.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah,
Gutenprags,
the Perfectenschlag thing. But I'm also convinced
Belschnickel.
I'm convinced Dwight and Angela are a love story that's worth analyzing in that show, because the first thing we ever hear Dwight say in the very first episode, he's singing The Little Drummer Boy, which is Angela's favorite song. So their relationship started long before they started recording their interaction. Anyway, I could analyze this all night. I won't subject your listeners to this.
No, you're fine. Well, because I'll end it on this. Are you Ben and Leslie or Jim and Pam, if you had to choose?
Ben and Leslie.
Me too, Tommy!
We're Ben and Leslie. But I think we're also more Amy Santiago and Jake Peralta, as we've discovered. We're very similar to that because we work together. And Ben and Leslie work together, but like we work together across the hall from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, so
I meant more. Which couple do you like more?
Ben and Leslie. I like more. Yes. I can watch them because their interactions are much more joyful, I think.
Legit.
Yeah. And even though I haven't seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I know Santiago and Peralta's.
Oh, it's such a cute couple. Because
of the episodes I'm seeing, I'm like, they're so cute.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. The whole engagement is just.
I think.
I love it.
Yes. But no one won the heist this year. No one won it.
No one won it. So next year when it comes back, we'll have to see. Sorry, we're spoiling things for you.
Oh, you're fine. I'm excited. I'm good too.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you 1,000 times to the Grady's.
This is so fun. Yeah.
We'll have to hang out.
Let's meet for beers.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I think it's funny because the first time that we don't kind of stick to our format, I kind of think it's like our best podcast. Talk about any other ones, but
any guests. We waffled a lot.
Yes, we did. Okay,
let's meet in Beaumont.
There's a great Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
And there's a Chili's in Beaumont. And I feel God in this Chili's tonight. So I really think that's going to be where we need to go.
It's after drink.
It's like second drink.
Yeah.
That's so
awesome
good.
Blossom.
That's so good.
It's a new golf course.
Yeah. Bushy as Beaver.
Do you think people have actually tried to like stage a Dundee's?
I don't know.
Because if not, we should be the first.
So we should totally do Catholic Dundee's and like invite people to come see it. Okay, trademark. This is our idea. Nobody take it.
Doing it, and we are 100%. I am dead serious. We have to do a Catholic Dundee's.
Well, Catholic Dundee's.
And a door.
Say it with an accent. The Dundee's.
He slaps him. My favorite part of the Dundee's.
A door has a lot of Office fans, and so they want to do the spin of the Dundies, but the Adorables.
Oh, that's a door. Cute.
So that's really cute. But it wouldn't be called the Catholic Dundee's.
Become post it.
Oh,
I don't know.
We can post it.
We'll just go hang out on the Annie's back porch and be like, hey, we're here.
Yes.
Like all dressed up and do it. So
do it.
And wear our Mardi Gras ball stuff. We've got tuxedos and ball gowns in the closet.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome. Let's make that happen next time around. We'll have you on our show and we'll do that next time around. We'll drive to Houston to record live.
Yes.
For sure.
100%. The girls.
One Hundy.
Hundy.
For the Dundee.
Hundy for the Dundee.
I love it.
And cut.
Yay.
All right. Well, we want to thank Nathaniel, our editor, for making us sound good. We also want to thank Elizabeth
for producing it, which she's the one that reached out and is she's the one that emails y'all.
We've got an awesome lineup of guests starting with these. Not that we haven't had awesome guests before, but you know what I'm saying. Coming up, it's going to be great.
Cranking them out. So.
Also, where can they find us on the internet?
On Instagram, at is in effect. And then on Facebook. I don't even know what I'm saying.
You're fine. At youtube.com/thatcatholiccouple. And before I forget, where can they find you guys?
Yeah.
Our podcast is at theelectricwaffle.com, and they can follow us on Twitter at Katie Prejean and at TMcGrady25.
Perfect. All right.
Y'all are the best.
Deal. And you'll hear us on Monday.
Stay holy, my friends.
Deuces.
Adios.